Hello, everyone. Happy New Year, and welcome to the first EuroHoop Pod, EuroHoop's official podcast episode of 2024. As usual, I'm Antonis Strogilakis, and I'm joined by my great colleague, Cesare Milanti. Hello, Cesare.
Hello, guys.
Our first guest for the new year is actually one of the best EuroLeague three-point shooters of the previous decade. It's 46% actually career three-point shooter in EuroLeague. That's pretty impressive. Former EuroCup champion, former All-EuroCup first-team selection, long-time member of the Finnish basketball team, seven-time Finnish player of the year, actually. Petteri Koponen. Petteri, hello.
Hey, hello, and Happy New Year also, and good to see you guys.
Petteri Koponen, who you are in Helsinki right now.
Yeah, or actually in Espoo. We are living here, but it's like 20 minutes from downtown of Helsinki, so that's where we live right now.
So, Petteri, tell us about your current whereabouts. What are you doing? What are you occupied with? And what are you going to be occupied in the upcoming months?
Well, you know, I'm getting into that coaching thing. Last year, I had first experience. The Adidas and EuroLeague asked me to do the next generation tournaments, and it was great opportunity and experience. And I really enjoyed that. And now they actually asked us to do it again. So we're gonna have our first tournament now, end of January in Podgorica. So I'm happy to do it again, and it was really, really fun, and having chance to work with some of the best talents in Europe. So it was really great experience last year. So I'm gonna do it again this year also.
What is it like for you coaching these young kids and coaching possibly the future of basketball?
Well, it's like I said, I really enjoyed it. I like the same, you know, you. As a coach, you get similar feelings like as a player, you know, during the games, up and downs, you know, when the team is working well, we made something what we practice, what we work for, you really get good feeling. And then at the same time, you also get frustrated many times. And I really like that, you know, the feeling side of coaching and just be part of the basketball again. But, you know, at the same time, working with the young guys and in this kind of concept is a little bit different. You are just there for a few days. You try to put something together, try to put the players in the same page, and then we play. But, you know, like I said, it was great, great experience. And it's the best thing now. After that last year, it's funny to see where the young guys are and how they are doing with their clubs, and we'll see how they do in their future. And that's I think the most interesting part with that project.
I have a curiosity, yes. Petteri, relating to young talents, considering the fact that right now, unfortunately, he got injured and he will be sidelined for 4-6 weeks. But if I'm not mistaken, you coached against Nikola Topic, right?
Yeah, I still remember that game in Belgrade, and it was overtime game. We played really, I think we played well, but you know, then the Red Star came back, then we lost in the overtime, and I think Topic scored like 49 points. We played good defense first, three quarters, then he started to show his talent. And you know, I watched also the game. I saw something happened with his knee, and I hope it's nothing serious, but that's amazing young talent.
Well, as you know, as an offensive minded player, you know very well that there's nothing you can do when a player goes off.
You know, as young as Topic is, like, we try to do different things. We try to also double him, but he always seems to be doing the right decision, you know, when to give the assist, when to, you know, do split, when to shoot, when to penetrate. It was just amazing. And how he understands the game at his age is impressive. And just overall things what he can do on the basketball court, it was really, really impressive.
Now, you got your first taste of coaching. Was it did the taste good enough for you to know to realize? I don't know if you realized it before that you want to pursue it professionally in the future on a bigger level.
Well, it's something what I'm, you know, really interested, but at the same time, I know how hard it is, you know, what it means to be a coach. And I know myself, if I want to jump into that coaching immediately, how much time it takes, how much, you know, because I also want to do it in the right way and best possible way. So at the same time, I don't think it's also fair immediately to my family or my kids, my wife, to jump in straight into that coaching job. But we'll see. Maybe it's something what I keep in my mind and try to, you know, watch a lot of basketball, you know, get experience. Now at the same time, I'm also here in Helsinki. There is the Helsinki Basketball Academy. I'm working there with the young guys in the high school, trying some skill work, try to teach them. And it's also, you know, great experience, try to give something back for the Finnish basketball and try to help the young guys. But we'll see in the future. Definitely it's something what I might be interested in the future.
You talked about the Helsinki Academy, and I wanted to ask you this in general. It's something that also many people don't know and many people might be curious about, because they see the Finnish basketball team in national competitions. They see many people supporting the Finnish basketball team, thousands traveling to be with the team. And I'm wondering, what's the situation in Finland regarding the development of young players, basketball infrastructures, the youth teams? Should we expect some two or three Lauri Markkanens in the future, perhaps? Or am I too optimistic?
Well, it's hard to be that there is new Lauri. Lauri is a special case, you know, his generational talent. He's one of the best players right now in the world. What he's doing is amazing, and I'm just happy for him. He's in the right system. They know how to use him, and he really exploded in the NBA. And we knew that with our national team, what he could do, like in the practice, in the games, we saw it every day. But it just took him few years in the NBA to really blossom out and really show what he can do. And it's just been fun to watch him now, you know, especially last year. Now also this year, you know, he's now getting back in shape after the little injury, but he's doing amazing. But overall, the Finnish basketball is going forward. You know, we, like I said, we have this Helsinki Basketball Academy. Then we have other like academies in different places in our country, and the clubs are working really, really well with the young guys. And I think we're gonna have, you know, bright future in basketball, and you can already see it. You know, our youth national teams are doing better job than back in the days. You know, our men's national team has, you know, found the level in the last years, and I think overall the Finnish basketball is looking, future of Finnish basketball is looking good.
And you talked about Lauri, of course, as a generational talent, of course, NBA all-star. Do we have like some kind of process in which there's a before Markkanen and an after marketing, like the sport has become more popular with him taking the spotlight, especially in the NBA? Do you feel that way?
Well, definitely. For me, it's been fun to be part of that journey, because when I went to the national team, we were playing in Division B, and there was like 1,000 people watching our national team games in small gyms. And then I still remember we beat Serbia in some qualifications. There was 1,500 people in the gym, and it was like nothing happened. And now I can say, what, 15 years later, like every time our national team plays in Finland, the gyms are full, 15,000 people, 40,000 people. And now there's Lauri, you know, the kids are following him, you know, media is talking about basketball more. Our national, like I said, national team has been, you know, found a place in the local media, and basketball has, you know, risen to the, I can say, to the place where it should be.
Talking a little bit more about Lauri specifically, in which kind of aspect do you see more his growth, also maybe off the court, being maybe a mentor for the future of the national team and also the present from his early NBA days?
Because essentially, Petteri, you were there since his beginning, since he began his journey. You were there, you followed every footstep.
Yeah, I think, like I said, the talent was always there, like what we saw in the practices, in the games. But I think it just mentally he found his place, his confidence. He found the right system where they know what he can do, and mentally it showed also him that he can be one of the best players in NBA. And after that, he never looked back, and he just continuing his. He's knowing what he can do on the court and against everybody, and it's just amazing what the guy, his size can do. He's very versatile. He can shoot it outside. He can go inside. You know, he can handle the basketball. When he gets the rebound, he can push the ball around the break, and it's just amazing.
And of course, Lowry was there both in EuroBasket. When Finland made it to the top eight, eventually losing against Spain in the quarterfinals, and in the latest FIBA World Cup, in which there was a little bit, I would say, of a disappointment with that early elimination. What do you think went wrong in the World Cup?
Well, I think it just was bad tournament for our team, or not bad, but there was the high expectations for the team that they could do much better, and then there's a lot of changes, a lot of some new guys, younger guys, and it was just not the result what everybody was hoping for. But I think still the core of the team will be there next year, and they're gonna be much better in the future, and they're still young guys growing up. Okay, of course, me and Sean Huff, we left the team after the EuroBasket, so they were missing maybe some veteran players a little bit to try to keep the team together. But at the overall, I say, like I said, the future looks good, and as long as Lowry plays, there's always just chance to win.
And you talked about Lowry, but we may have also an up-and-coming, perhaps, star for Finland. I'm talking about Miro Little.
Yeah, well, Miro is, a very talented young guy, but now, I hope he just finds playing time in Baylor now as his first year. He's, trying to get his role back in the team, or find his role and get more playing minutes. But he's really, really talented young guys, and like I said, the future looks bright.
Because that's the thing. If you already have Markkanen, and considering that the Lord is just 26, he still hasn't reached his prime. He has many years ahead of him, and Miro Little is probably the next big thing for Finnish basketball, unless there is a player we don't know that you want to tell us. Do you see these two possibly becoming the two-man force that Finland needs to make the extra step to the next level in an international competition?
Well, definitely. And there's the, like I said, good young core. Then we have Mikael Antunen playing now in Paris for,
yes,
Tuomas Iisalo, and Oliver Nakamura, playing in Michigan. But like, there is some good pieces for the national team, really, like our big guys now. I can say they are like modern type of big guys. Everybody can, shoot outside. They are very mobile, versatile. We have Alexander Madsen now. He actually just signed in ACB with Andorra.
Yeah.
And our front line is looking really impressive. But like you said, maybe something we need the next, the point guard, and Miro. I think Miro gonna be the guy who gonna lead a team, and makes everybody's job easier.
You talked about Jantunen, who's playing in Paris for a Finnish coach, Tuomas Iisalo, who's doing great. We're going to talk about him. But in general, we don't see, after you retired, we don't see Finnish players in EuroLeague. We see some Finnish players in the Basketball Champions League. There's Sasu Salin playing great in the Basketball Champions League with Tenerife, but we don't see many Finnish players in EuroLeague and EuroCup. Why do you think is that?
Well, yeah, first of all, it's not easy to make it to EuroLeague. It's a great league, I think second best league in the world, and the EuroLeague level is really, really high, and it's not easy to make it there. So I really hope one day again we will see Finnish players there, And we'll see. Maybe it's with the Paris. Maybe they're going to get to the EuroLeague soon, maybe next year, maybe year after that. But and then Antonin going to be there. But it's not easy to get there. And as a foreigner, always, you have to produce something more to be part of EuroLeague team.
So we touched a little bit on Antonin on Paris. So let's talk about Tuomas Sisalo now. Do you believe is a EuroLeague head coach ready right now? Because according to my opinion, yes, honestly, I don't know about you.
Definitely, I think he's ready, and he's doing amazing job during his coaching career now, first with Kreisheim, then with Bonn, and now with Paris. And I'm just happy for him. He found, you know, great project there in Paris. They are doing amazing job this year again. You know, many players wanted to follow him from Bonn, and it also shows that the players appreciate how he's working. And I know he's very, very tough as a coach. He demands a lot. The practices are hard. You have to stay focused all the time. But at the same time, you see it is working, and the players are really, really, you know, buying in to his system, and it's working out. And like I said, I will see if it's next year Paris going to be in EuroLeague or year after that. But I definitely think Tuomas is ready for EuroLeague.
So you talked about the system, and especially the part of bringing a lot of players from Bonn, like TJ Shorts, for example, to Paris. Of course, you know him more closely. So can you drive us through his system and through his personality a little bit more?
Well, you know, I knew Tuomas from maybe 20 years back. We play actually in the same club here in Espoo called Honka before I left to Virtus, and then we played also a few games together with national team, so I have known him many years. And he's very analytical coach. He knows he thinks he knows exactly what he wants from his players, from his team, and he's very demanding, and it's his style. But like all the results shows, he knows what he's doing, and I can say he's the I don't know, one of the best upcoming coaches now in Europe, and it's just been amazing to follow. And one thing what Tuomas always said. Told me, like, you can't, you know, out-coach bad recruiting, you know. And if you want to be successful, you have to find the right guys to your system, you know what you want to play. And that's when he took five guys from Bonn, or I don't know how many exactly, but anyway, close to five guys. I think it just shows he knows how to use those guys. He trusts them, and it makes everything easier with that. That when you have something to build also from the past, the players know what he wants. So it just makes everything easier. And then the new players have to, you know, buy into the system, get used to that. And overall, they just try to run really, really fast-paced basketball, you know, and play high-paced and shoot also a lot of threes. And they have two-point guards actually, TJ Shorts is running the show. Then they have Hifi who can create also a lot. So it's been just fun team to follow this year.
One extra impressive thing for Paris, I mean, okay, they are 12-1 in EuroCup. Everyone sees the results. It's also their offense. I mean, they're averaging almost 100 points per game, which is pretty insane for European basketball, EuroCup, for a team to score almost 100 points per game. It's not easy. No matter how fast your rhythm is, your pace is, it's not easy to have a team that scores so much and so well and be a winning team at the same time. As a player and as a coach, as a guy who played a few years ago and he's just beginning his coaching career, is it more fun also for the player to play? Is it easier for them to buy in this kind of system that, you know, allows them to score, to produce?
I definitely think so, for sure. And the players, when, you know, that's the one of the biggest thing also, like now the difference between coach and the player. You know, players always want to think the game through the offense. You know, how I can maybe score basket, how I can help the team, how what I can do in there. And as a coach, you think also more like at the defense, how we can get the defense work so we have opportunities to run fast break, you know, get the results. And of course, they are playing tough defense, so they get the, you know, steals, rebounds, and after they have chance to run the fast break. And like I said, they run really, really well the fast break. And then also at the same time, they have guards who can create good shooters. And like I said, they want to shoot a lot of three pointers, and they are doing it well. And like I said, really fun team to watch. And like you said, how the offense is working, it's unbelievable. And I hope they can do it until the end of the season.
Well, they will have a Finnish coach in EuroLeague, definitely.
Yeah. They do it.
Moving to Virtus Bologna, one of the teams for which you played during your career, we're talking about one of the best teams in Europe currently. 14 wins in the EuroLeague, second place in the standings. What's your opinion on such an impressive season so far from them?
Nah, unbelievable. You know, I think nobody believed. But that Virtus could do this and be second in EuroLeague, especially then, you know, Scariolo leaving the team before the season, then Luca Banchi coming there, our assistant coach Lassi going there, and just looking overall what Virtus has done, and now I can say this first part of EuroLeague is just amazing, and it's been fun also to watch their games, how they are really good as a team, especially, and the Banchi has done very well. You know, he knows how to use his players, and then the veterans like Belly, like Daniel Hackett. It's been amazing. Ife is hitting every clutch shots, and it's just the confidence as a team is amazing, and they never give up fighting. Shengelia has been like MVP, and it's been amazing just season for them, and we'll see now how they can do the second part of the season.
And you mentioned Lassi Tuovi being the assistant coach of Luca Banchi. We talked a little bit about Tuomas Isalo personality and system. Do you see some similarities between them, or do you see a different approach in Lassi, considering also his role with the national team, of course?
Well, of course, like in basketball, every coach got their own little bit own philosophy and how they see things, but at the same time, you know, I think the Finnish coaches, they all of us, it comes from our, and like, how do you say, like natural like habits that all of us are like really hardworking guys, and they want to do their job really, really well. And I think Lassi is one of those guys also, like working really, really hard, trying to study the game, watch everything what there is to watch. And even sometimes too much, but yeah, they got similarities. But at the same time, also Paris and Virtus, they run similar offense. This I can say this flow offense, or how do you call this? Like with the four corners and this top pick and roll system. Like of course they both got different kind of also options from there, but they run similar offense through the players, and then at the same time you see the coaches how they use their players different way, how to use like Bellinelli as a, you know, one of the best shooters ever, so how Banchi is using him, putting him in different options and posting up Shengelia or like this, but at the same time there's the same like this offense is similar Paris and Virtus.
And after Virtus, you went to Khimki, where you won the EuroCup in the 14-15 season. What do you remember about that season, also playing alongside Tyrese Rice in that team?
One of the most fun to watch teams, I believe, in that we have seen in a EuroCup, honestly. It was a spectacular team.
Yeah, like you said, we are really, really good team. Not only me and Tyrese, but we had also Marco Popovic, then we had James Augustin, Paul Davis, we had a lot of, you know, Sergei Monia from Russian national team, you know, we had great players, and it was fun years And like I said, we every year we had really strong team, and I'm just happy we had chance to win the Euro Cup, because it's never easy to win something. And that year everything just clicked, and we were able to win the Euro Cup and go back to the EuroLeague, and it was fun year, amazing. And you know, Tyrese, after that we went back to Barcelona also together, and then it's another topic, a little bit unfortunate topic, but you know, it was, especially that Kimki year was really fun.
That's what I wanted to ask you, basically. That Barcelona year in 2016-2017, Barcelona signs Tyrese from Kimki. They sign you from Kimki to keep that backcourt that worked so well at Kimki Moscow after that EuroLeague season with Kimki in 2015-2016. Then they have already Justin Dolman, they bring Victor Claver, who had a great season with Lokomotiv Kuban. They bring Claver's coach, Yorgos Bartzokas, who had a winning history in EuroLeague. They have veterans, Juan Carlos Navarro, of course, Stratos Perperoglou is there, Ante Tomić. In theory, on paper, this is a team that should win something, that should go far in EuroLeague. But, okay, they had some injury problems, as I remember, pretty well in the beginning, but nothing worked for Barcelona that season. Why do you think?
Well, yeah. Personally, that part of that, you know, those 2 years in Barcelona, personally for me, is something what I really, I don't know, looking back, like a little bit like, I don't know, regret, but it's just bad luck, you know. Like you said, in Barcelona, we had a lot of injuries. Actually, personally, I was in the car accident, almost died, and then came back after I was supposed to be out 3 months, but because of all the injuries, we had some specialists. They told me that I could play after 5 weeks. So basically, I practiced just one or two times with the team and went back to playing. And I was, you know, okay, some games I was playing well, but I was never at the level where I was maybe a year before. And it, like you said, a lot of injuries, and the team wasn't working. And you know, the level in Europe is so high that if you are not good, you just sign names, but the team is not working, you don't have a chance. And it's not only that year in Barcelona, but you get every year you see some teams got good players, and it's just not working out. And it's part of the sports. And also at the same time, it's also beauty of the sports, because it's not that simple that you always just sign the names and you're going to win everything. And it's just, you need luck, you need chemistry, you need everything to work out well, to have, you know, some success.
You talked about the car accident, traffic accident that there was. I had to also check it again to check the exact date. Barcelona released the announcement on 19th of September, and then you debuted in EuroLeague this season. In the fourth round, it was a game against Bamberg on the 28th of October. And you said before that you almost died. So how did that happen? I mean, you have the car accident, and almost on 19th of September, almost 1 month afterwards, you return to action. How was that for you? Do you think that was faster than it should have been? Do you think that perhaps you, the club, I don't know who, perhaps you rushed things in that department?
Well, yeah, like I said, definitely it was bad luck. You know, we just finished the preseason. Actually, I think if I remember right, we were in Athens. We had this tournament there, and we flew back. Then we went to celebrate a little bit with the team, have the team dinner, like celebrate the preseason ending, and then at the same time, you know, I was going back home, and some drug driver hit my taxi, and I don't remember nothing. Next day, I woke up in the hospital, and I got 16 stitches in my head. And lucky they told me I was using the seatbelt in the taxi, because usually I didn't use seatbelts. Now after that accident, every time I step in the car, I put that seatbelt on. Yeah, I put that every time, and it saved my life. And after that, I was just fortunate to be able also to play basketball again. And but like I said, first diagnosis was the doctor told me like, okay, around maybe 3 months you can be back playing. But then we actually we have this Formula One driver specialist like with the head trauma things in Finland, and I was consulting him, and we talked with him if it's possible. We did some tests, and after, like I said, after 5 weeks around, I played the first game because we had a lot of injuries, and I think I practiced one time with the first team. Before that, I think I had did the one practice with second team to try to get some basketball rhythm, but it wasn't easy because almost 3 weeks just laying in the bed, no cell phone, no books, nothing, just letting your brains to rest. And after that, playing basketball, it wasn't that easy. Everything happened so fast, but like I said, you know, it's life, and I'm very fortunate I'm okay, and I was able to play basketball. Like, it was fast going back to the court.
And during those years in Barcelona, we saw a young Sasha Bezenkov, his early days in the EuroLeague. Back in the days, did you see some sparks of the talent that eventually would have taken him to become the EuroLeague MVP with Olympiacos? So it was something that came later on after Barcelona.
Well, yeah, I saw the talent, and especially I think with Sasha, the work ethic was there. You know, he was one of those players who, always after practice, you know, staying there to shoot the ball. I remember we had many shooting competitions, and I have to give credit to Sasha that he was one of those players who I sometimes lost. I definitely won most of them, but sometimes lost to Sasha. And after now a few years, he's showing how incredible good shooter he is, you know, and unbelievable season last year in EuroLeague, you know, going to the final and unbelievable. And now I just hope he get opportunity in the NBA to show what he can do also there.
And Yorgos Bartzokas was the coach that brought you, actually wanted you to sign with Barcelona. And okay, that season, that stint of him in Barcelona didn't work, but he was coming from a successful year with the Lokomotiv Kuban. They went to the Final Four. He had won the EuroLeague with Olympiacos, and he has been the coach of the year now for two seasons in a row in EuroLeague. What do you think of him as a coach? Because to my eyes, when I remember, whoa, he signed Koponen. Koponen is a Bartzokas player. He's the guy who is perfect for his system. You know, the guy who shoots the ball, who goes through the screens, who does so many things in offense. So what do you think of him in general, in his style?
No, I always liked Coach Bartzokas, how he's playing, how his teams are playing, trying to share the ball, playing together. But like I said, it was just unfortunate, you know, season, because a lot of injuries, then players are coming back from injuries. You try to always, you know, teach them the basic things, and it's very hard to develop the game throughout the season when guys are coming back, or you have to sign new players, and the teams are never developing and don't find the chemistry the right way. And it's just, you know, how it is. But as a person, as a coach, he was always, you know, correct, trying to support his players, trying to use them how he sees the basketball. And nothing bad to say about Coach Bartzokas, great coach and doing great job again now in Olympiacos.
You won things with Kimki. You won things with Bayern when you were there. You won the German League in 2019. Okay, the Barcelona, that two-year run, wasn't particularly happy. I guess you played these 4 years at Virtus. You have great memories from there. On which team do you think that we had the happiest Petteri Koponen? Which team you had the most fun with? In which team you fared better as a part of the group?
I don't know. I can say like all of them. I was really fortunate to, you know, to be part of, you know, great organizations, great teammates. And of course, all the teams were different, but at the same time, you know, all of them. It's hard to choose. You know, every team is different. Bologna, 4 years as a young player, coming to Virtus was great. First year we had, you know, we had great ambitions. We had, they signed our Boykins from NBA. We had Keith Langford, you know. We had amazing team. Our goal was to make it to the EuroLeague next year. Then we lost to Treviso, and the budget went down for the next season. But maybe it was also good for me as a young player. I got the opportunity to show what I can do. And then in Khimki, you know, it was the next step, playing EuroLeague, you know, with great players, great ambitions to always win every game. And different culture in Russia, a different city. And then, of course, Barcelona, it was, you know, like a dream come true. Everybody wants to play there. You know, this everybody knows their history. And it was just unfortunate because then also at the same next year, I had this, I could say, crazy shoulder injury with my nerve. So step by step, also that, like, it took out, like, I can say, 6 months from that season. But it was just unfortunate time in Barcelona. But at the overall, it was great. Great city, great, you know, club organization. And then also in Bayern, I was, you know, happy to be part of that, you know, upcoming club in basketball. They're building their basketball now, and Pablo Laso now is starting the new project, and they want to be also big in basketball like they are in football. So I was lucky to be part of many great organizations.
You had also a kind of a vengeance game, that game against Barcelona where you hit the game winner.
Yeah, that was a tough game, I remember. And I remember we had the last offense. They told me, hey, Kop, take the ball. And I said, okay, I take it. And luckily the shot went down. And it was, you know, great win.
Petteri, we'd like to thank you very much for being here with us, for being our first guest for the new year, for 2024. It was great. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. And like you said, happy new year and all the best. And let's enjoy basketball.
Thank you, Petteri.
Thank you, Petteri. That was Petteri Koponen, a Finnish basketball legend who is going to coach again, as he told us, this year in Adidas Next Generation Tournament with the select team. Petteri, I don't know how you say goodbye and happy new year in Finnish. Can you keep with us?
Kiitos ja hyvää uutta vuotta.
Oh my God. This
what do you say? What do you say? Just what do you say?
This is too much for me to... I mean, you have difficult names to pronounce, but this is even more difficult. So, okay, I will say just farewell in English. So, farewell, Cesare. Thank you once again for hosting this Eurohoop pod. And to our viewers, you can find us in YouTube as usual and on Spotify. See you next week. Take care and happy new year again. Thank you, everyone. And thank you, Petteri.
All right. Thank you.